but now it was a dark 100 yards, lit up at only one point, where a street lamp cast an oval pool of yellow on the pavement. Davina walked towards it. She liked spotlights. Something white and rectangular lay on the ground under the light. Garbage, Davina suspected. Another thing to complain about. However, as Davina approached, she saw that the white rectangle wasn't garbage. It was an envelope. And when she got nearer, she saw something very strange. The envelope had her name on it. A fan letter, Davina thought with pleasure. She took off her glove, picked up the envelope, and pulled out the letter. It read, "Dear Davina, sorry about this, but you know too much." Suddenly, a heavy hand grabbed Davina's arm. She looked up to see a familiar face smiling down at her. Davina felt petrified with fear. Her body went winter cold. Her ears suddenly seemed to stop working. She could no longer hear the sounds of New York. It was as if the cabs and traffic, sirens and horns, no longer existed. All Davina could hear was her own voice, her screams, as she found herself being dragged towards a parked car. She looked beseechingly up at the uniformed doorman in the distance. "Help! Help me!" But the doorman did nothing. He stood motionless, looking the other way. And desperately kicking and struggling, Davina found herself being pushed into a Rolls-Royce as unceremoniously as a stray dog might be forced into a pound van. She was driven away into the night. 2. Molly Moon threw a bumper-sized packet of honey wheat puffters up the supermarket aisle. The box flipped through the air, and the fat cartoon bee on it flew for the first and last real flight of its life before it landed with a crunch in the shopping cart. "Bullseye, 20 points to me," Molly said with satisfaction. A shower of jaw-drop bubblegums came raining down into the cart from over the shelves of cereal. "How can Ruby eat so much gum?" a boy's voice asked from the other shopping aisle. "She's only 5. "She sticks her pictures up with it," said Molly, pushing the metal card onto the canned fish corner. "How can Roger eat so many sardines? That's what I want to know. Cold, too, straight from the can. Disgusting. You can't stick pictures up with sardines." 10 points for those gums and double it, Green Eyes, because I got them in from over the other side." The husky-voiced boy emerged from behind a giant stack of baked beans. His dark brown face was framed by a white hat with ear flaps. He put a large bottle of orange squash concentrate in the cart. "Thanks, Rocky," Molly said. Orange squash concentrate was Molly Moon's favourite drink. She liked to drink it neat. She disentangled a pen from behind her ear and messy hair and wrote down their chucking scores in a small, worn notebook. "Molly, 45, 100, 140, 175, 210. Rocky, 40, 90, 133, 183, 228. "Okay, wise guy, you win this week. But I'll be the champ before Easter." Then Molly consulted their list. It said, "Happiness House Shopping. Boring stuff. Potatoes, onions, tomatoes, parsnips, lettuce, aubergines, celery, sugar, cream, chicken, honey wheat, 10 tins of sardines, chops, puffers, eggs, sausages, oats, budgie food, dog food, milk, frozen peas, mouse food, cashews." All crossed out. Exciting stuff. Cube fizzy drinks, heaven bars, jaw-drop gums, crisps, orange squash, popcorn, biscuits, concentrates, shaving foam and razors, ketchup, cheesy biscuits, sweets, sherbet, chocolates, all crossed out, Moon's marshmallows, magazines, lip gloss crossed out, presents, teeth whitener crossed out. Happiness House was the orphanage where Molly and Rocky lived. When Molly Moon was a baby, she'd been left on its doorstep in a Moon's marshmallows box, which is how she got her name. Until recently, the children's home had been called Hardwick House. And as that name might suggest, it had been an extremely difficult place to live in. But just before Christmas, Molly had been dealt a spectacular, life-changing card. In the library in the nearby town of Briarsville, she'd found a faded old leather-bound book, The Book of Hypnotism by Dr. Logan. It had changed Molly's life. After learning the book's secrets and discovering that she possessed incredibly powerful hypnotic skills, Molly had left the orphanage and gone to New York, accompanied by the orphanage pug, Petula. There, she'd used hypnotism to get the starring role in a Broadway musical called Stars on Mars. Molly had fooled and controlled hundreds of people, and she'd made lots of money. But a crook called Professor Nockman had discovered her secret. He had kidnapped Petula and blackmailed Molly into robbing a bank for him. It had been dreadful, until Rocky had showed up and helped her sort Nockman out. Molly had left New York behind, bringing with her the money that she'd earned, and a large diamond that had come her way the day of the bank robbery and Professor Nockman. Back at Hardwick House, things began to get better at last. Molly had removed the witchy orphanage mistress, the building had been renamed, and the kind, although slightly batty, widow called Mrs. Trinklebury, who had worked at the orphanage before, had come to help permanently. Molly had told her that the money she'd brought back from America was from a rich person called the Benefactor, who wanted to help the children's home. Molly had also hypnotized Nockman and brought him with her to be Mrs. Trinklebury's assistant. She was hoping that by working with someone as kind as Mrs. Trinklebury, Nockman would soon reform and become a genuinely kind person too. So far, the experiment was working well. Molly checked her list. They had about everything now. All the healthy food, the vegetables and fruit that Mrs. Trinklebury had asked for, lay squashed at the bottom of the card underneath milk and fizzy drinks. On top were the special items, the presents for the six children from the orphanage, who were away. Gordon Boyles and Cynthia Redman were at an outward bound course, where Gordon, wanting to look meaner, had shaved his head. Molly had brought shaving foam and razors for him, and chocolates for Cynthia. Hazel Hackersley and Craig Redman, Cynthia's twin, were at a ballroom dancing course, so Molly was sending them lip gloss and teeth whitener. Jinx and Ruby, the 2 5-year-olds, were staying at Mrs. Trinklebury's lovely sister's pig farm. Molly was mailing them a package of popcorn and bubblegum. Molly scratched her head, hoping she hadn't got lice again. All that's left now is something for everyone who's still at home. Roger needs his nuts. Poor Roger, he's nuts, said Rocky, lobbing some cashews into the cart. Indeed, Roger Fibbin was. Since Molly had returned, he had grown more and more muddled by the world. He spent most of his time up the orphanage oak tree. Agreed Molly. Got my ketchup and Mr. Nockman's parakeet food. Got Gemma's sherbet and Jerry's cheesy biscuits. Just need our candy and Mrs. Trinkleberry's magazines. Molly pushed the heavily laden cart down the last aisle towards the front of the store and scooped up a carton of toffees, a bag of candy sticks, some heaven bars, and a giant package of Moon's marshmallows. Rocky plucked the celebrity globe and Welcome to My World, At Home with the Stars, from the magazine rack. Kid Nuttall Kidnap, the Briarsville Evening Chronicle declared in black print. But Rocky didn't look at the newspapers. He and Molly piled their purchases onto the checkout conveyor belt. A pretty young woman with thick hair and gentle hands started tapping out prices on her register. Molly looked at her fresh country face and her nylon apron. She could almost belong to a different species from the people on the front of the glossy magazines that lay in front of her. Oscar's special issue, trumpeted the headline on Celebrity Globe, beside a close-up photo of a woman with tumbling golden hair and a smile so full of teeth